Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another evening of Jay Bird Watching. Once again, we are here, and it feels a little odd again after the game yesterday, but now we're hopefully hearing some good things as we take on the Washington Nationals this evening. But as usual, with me as always, my co-host, Jason Lyons. How are we doing this evening, my buddy?
Super duper, Alice Cooper. How are you doing?
Always great to hear Alice Cooper. That's all I'm going to say. Although it's cool's in at this point, not school's out.
Yes, exactly. So, school's out down there, or school's in for you guys down in the U.S., right?
Next week.
Yeah, we still got a few more.
For us Americans here with the school.
We still got a few more weeks here in the Great White North before we send the little kiddie winks back.
Good deal. And all of you might have noticed, we have another person with us here in these wonderful panels and windows. We have Ethan Miller of jaysjournal.com with us this evening. Ethan, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm not going to be able to match the Alice Cooper hello, but I'm doing great. I think I'm just a little too young to use an Alice Cooper reference.
There is that. So, but it's all good. You're here. You're a Blue Jays fan. You're a fellow writer. So it's always good to have somebody from Jays Journal on, because we are the official podcast of jaysjournal.com. And we haven't had a ton of you guys on, so at least of late anyway. So Ethan, what have you been working on a little bit when you've been writing lately?
Yeah, so I just had an article come out, I want to say, a week and a half ago, looking at how the Jays 2022, their first 10 draft picks did, how they were performing this year in the minor leagues. You know, guys like Brandon Barria, Kasevich, and then some surprises like Alan Rodon, Mason Fluharty, how they're performing in Class A, Double A, what major league experience might be expected for them. And then along with that, I just finished interviewing Travis Snyder today. So
Lunchbox hero Travis Snyder.
Lunchbox hero Travis Snyder. So
well, tell him to come on this show. We've been trying to get him on here for like years.
Yeah, well, I'll see what I can do. In the upcoming days, I want to say, if not next week, the article about our little chit chat should be going live on Jay's Journal.
That's awesome.
Good deal. I've had the pleasure of chit-chatting with him before. He's a fun person to have in a baseball conversation. Actually, I was very happy to see that he was actually at the Jose Bautista level of excellence ceremony and everything. It was cool to see him out there. So, and not to mention all that was fun just period in general. So it worked out really well.
Yeah, I honestly can't say enough good things about the guy. Honestly, one of the nicest guys I've ever spoken to. And I mean, like that era of Blue Jays, I'm sort of showing how young I am, but I mean that era of Jays is like when I started watching, like 08 09. So to be able to speak to one of the guys who like what are one of my first memories of the team, I mean, like, that's That's pretty big for me.
Especially in the midst of the level of what you were just talking about with prospects and everything. Travis Sawyer was one of the biggest project prospects that we had, and we kept getting teased. I loved watching him play, and I knew he was going to have a good career. And to that point, he had a very good career, played for a lot of teams and bounced around a little bit, but he, you know, pieced it up together. He played a good 10 years in Major League Baseball. That's nothing to slouch at on any level. So it's good stuff. So I guess I got to ask this question then. Who was your favorite player from that time frame?
See, I feel like cheating is going with John McDonald, because I think everyone's favorite Jay, like minus Bautista, from that era would be John McDonald, just from like the cult hero aspect. But no, I was a big Aaron Hill guy.
Yeah,
me too, actually.
Aaron Hill. I was absolutely devastated when we traded him to Arizona. I remember that happening and being like, we're screwed. There goes our second baseman. And then he won for like two cycles with the Diamondbacks. Like, he went and backed me. I've been preaching his success. I mean, he had so many good years for us, and then he was gone just like that.
Yeah, his counterpart was one of my favorite heroes from that time frame, and that was Adam Lind, you know, fellow Silver Slugger Award winner that year and all that kind of good stuff. It was always fun watching the two of them just mash at the top of that lineup. So you can only go get so excited about some of the other guys we had on that team with, like, 1 year of David Eckstein, 1 year of Frank Thomas.
Yeah. I completely forgot about that Frank Thomas year, and somebody brought it up the other day, and then I saw a picture of him in the uni, and I was like, really? Oh yeah, that's right. You know, like it's interesting when you get some of those weird one-offs, and but that's the cool thing about baseball more than other sports, is you see a guy in a uni and you're like, that's right, he did play there, didn't he?
Yeah, and then the 500th career home run, I think, was also in a Blue Jays uniform, so that was the big kicker for him right there. So that was very interesting, but there was some fun there with the end of that one with his contract. If he hit another home run or something like that, they were going to have to extend him for another year. It was just all sorts of mayhem with that Frank Thomas at the end there. So, but to that point, that was the years that we were constantly in limbo and in flux and kind of pushing for a playoff spot. I don't know why this sounds eerily familiar to me right now. So
stop me if you've heard this before. But,
yeah, I know, right? So let's dive into it, guys. I don't know how you're feeling over the last week, but I've been one of those ones that I've been extremely confident that things are going to eventually click. Things are going to go right. Even my confidence over the last week has been waning. And I'd say the game yesterday with the constant back and forth and the constant coughing it up and against the Cleveland Guardians is the reason I'm a little bit on edge currently. And that's not even talking about the injuries and stuff. So let's talk first about the games that were this past week before we start diving into injuries and whatnot, because that's a whole story on its own. So, Ethan, this past week in Blue Jays baseball, how are you feeling right now? Are you down, level keel?
Yeah, I don't want to be biased from the most recent collapse, but I'm not feeling too hot. I mean, I'm not super thrilled with the way the team is playing, and I feel like that's sort of reverberated by a lot of people watching this team. But it's not consistent offensively. I mean, you have a game where you come out and score 9 runs. You have a game where you come out and score 7 runs, and then you'll have another game where they end up with 3 hits. Like, I just want 3 games in a row of 4-plus runs, and then maybe I'll be content.
And you're definitely hitting the nail on the head right there. Yeah, go ahead, Jason.
I think that one of the big things is we haven't seen the Jays have a run this year. Like, what's their longest winning streak of the year? 5, 6, maybe?
Have they even done that? 5 ballparks.
So, you know, I feel like, you know, I've tried to be a little overly positive about this season because I do like the team and I do like their chances. Some of the things I do like about what's been happening lately is, you know, Vladdy's hitting the ball better. Springer seems to be hitting the ball really well right now. Varsho's hitting the ball. Like, it's the contact, you know, it's the hit the weight room joke. Like, they're just not hitting it far enough in some cases, and they're not hitting it hard enough on the ground to get what they need. But Craig and I talked about this a little bit before we started. I mean, I think some of the worst errors right now are the base running. I think the base running is just absolutely decimating. They're good in the field. They're decent offensively, and they're making mistakes that are not allowing them to blow a game open. You know, Vladdy trying to get home the other day. Like, it's just, it's stupid. Stop him at three. And I don't know. I never saw a replay of whether he was waived, you know, if they told him to stop at three. Waived. So, again, that's a coaching error. And, you know, I coach, and we often say to the kids, if we make a call, if we tell you to steal or we tell you to run through it, then it's our fault. But at the end of the day, when the manager's wearing all that and you don't make the playoffs, I mean, then who cares, right? Like, I mean, I love aggression. I love, you know, the fact that the game is pushing aggression more with more, you know, more bunting, more stealing, more everything. But you cannot give away free outs, especially when you have, you know, two outs and you're taking a chance rather than stopping and allowing someone else in the order who's probably hitting decently to hit you home. It seems selfish, and I hate to say that about the Jays, but it does seem like there's selfish parts of it. Oh, and I forgot about Brandon Belt. He's been crushing it lately too. So,
yeah, I wanted to add on to you talking about little things. And I think little things are the big thing that's really pulling them down. And it can be, you can dissect it into tiny little parts. But I mean, just using a recent example, Biggio bunting yesterday. If Biggio bunts that down the third baseline, you have a runner on third.
As a guy who coaches baseball, when you square that early and Ramirez is that far down the first baseline, the easiest thing to do is put it over his head, square, come back and give it a little half a swing. I mean, he's feeding you down the middle. He's not going to try and get that ball past you. They want you to bunt it. They want you to bunt it hard to one of them so they can get the out. He fell right into it. And how many times has Biggio bunted as a major leaguer? Four?
Like, but the thing is, I was
his for video it.
A couple of years ago, Biggio bunted for a double. If you remember when they had the extreme shift song, you'd have one guy on the left side of the infield. There's video of them playing that super shift on Biggio, and he bunts it over the shortstop's head and gets it to second. So he can bunt it to left field. He can bunt it to the left side of the infield. He's proven that he can do it before. It's those little things. If he bunts it at all, anywhere on the left side of the infield, so long as the catcher can't get it and throw out Jansen at third, he's advanced the runner and he's done his job. But he bunted it to the right side, right at their first baseman who's got a great arm because he's an outfielder.
Yes.
It's a little thing that if you fix it, you're in a much better position than what you were.
100%.
I mean, 100%. That goes hand in hand with the base running, right? It's such little things. It's sending a guy for an extra base. It's running home when you don't have to. It's the complete, utter inability to hit a sack fly. It's just these tiny, tiny little things that seem like they can be changed. But I mean, we're nearing September and they haven't changed.
Yeah.
And so I hate to be like doomer, the glass is completely empty. But
now I will say this. And I will say this. The schedule that is coming up is ripe for an 8 or 9 game. Like, I mean, they could really put a good solid number up if they can remove their heads from their butts and, you know, and play some baseball.
Starts tonight.
It's bad that, you know, it's bad that Bo's hurt. It's bad that Chapman's hurt. And I know we're going to talk about that in a bit. But I feel like with some of these things, and I think that Schneider is part of sort of this, you know, we're going to go down fighting mentality of these guys that they're bringing up from Buffalo. And I feel like, you know, as bad as things have sort of been lately with the silly losses, I feel like if they can put 5 or 6 together and, you know, they can get a good game from, you know, Ernie Clement, or they can get another good game from Schneider, or like Schneider, the manager, was saying, you know, Schneider might be cementing himself into the lineup where he can't be taken out. And I mean, I'm okay with that. He's a great second baseman. You can put him in the outfield if you feel like he can play three. You know, he's kind of Whit Merrifield, just, you know, just a little different. And
don't, you know, throw that kid a freaking high fastball. Holy shit.
No,
you're right.
This mash.
He's turned around every one of his home runs. He's been right about there, it feels like, and it cranks it.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, I think this is going to be a real telltale. Craig and I, you know, Ethan, about a month ago, we were talking about sort of this stretch and how important this stretch is. You know, you can kind of, you can fart around a little bit. And as you're looking around the majors right now, I mean, really the only really hot team is Seattle. Everyone else seems to be taking the whole month off. Like, it's been garbage baseball for the best teams. And even the teams that were really pushing, they're struggling significantly, other than Seattle. Seattle's on fire right now. But Seattle's
case in point, the Texas Rangers are no longer the division winner.
No,
they've been one for their last 10.
Seattle's two injuries away from dropping out of the race. They're heavily relying on a couple of guys right now, and if you pull one of those linchpins out of that, then they're in big trouble. But until Julio stops hitting every single ball thrown at him a million miles, and guys stop throwing him pitches he can hit a mile, we're going to see more of this. And like I said, I mean, this stretch could really recharge the Jays' batteries and really get them flying down, you know, the right path. Or the flip side is, if you lose a bunch of these, I mean, it's just an anchor around you might as well just jump in the lake.
So the eight teams that are really in the hunt, let me just put this whole thing out. This is including the division leaders currently. The Baltimore Orioles are 7-3 over their last 10 games. The Mariners are only lost once. Yep. The Minnesota Twins are exactly 500 for the last 10 days. The Tampa Bay Rays are 8-2. The Texas Rangers are 1-9, like I'd mentioned. And the Houston Astros are 4-6, just like we have been. The problem is the Boston Red Sox were 6-4, and they're nipping at our heels 2 games back from us. So, guys, that's your playoff race, because after that, I'm sorry to say, the Los Angeles Angels are 63-68 and not even have a .500 record at this point. It only gets worse from there, which makes me happy that the Yankees are the next team being here in New York. It does. It makes me a little happy, so there's a silver lining. At least I can say I'm better than you this year.
Lots can.
So, yeah, exactly. But to that point, go ahead.
I was just saying, both New York teams aren't doing so hot right now.
The Mets are a dumpster fire of what the hell did you plan this year and how did you get here? So, but to that point, even that brings up an interesting point. The Blue Jays are honestly one of the higher paid teams in baseball this year, being over the actual luxury tax at the moment. If we don't make the playoffs, what the hell is this good team going to look like going into the offseason? It's going to be very, very interesting.
I think regardless of a World Series win or a potential miss from the playoffs, this team's going to look at least quite a bit different next year with just how many free agents they have. I mean, with Brandon Belt, Whit Merrifield, Matt Chapman, all free agents, and you've got prospects like Addison Barger, Aurelvis Martinez. You might need more playing time for Davis Schneider if he continues his bat this way. There's just too many infielders and not enough infield positions, quite frankly. I mean, first base is going to be occupied by Vlad. First base and DH, because he's going to need to DH some games. And I don't see them moving Bo off of shortstop. And with as many prospects as you have, and with how great they've played this year, I think Aurelvis Martinez and Addison Barger are competing for the starting third base gig next year. So unfortunately, that kind of gets rid of Matt Chapman. And for as great as he's been defensively, which he has been, and consistently throughout his entire career, I mean, the bat just hasn't been there since April. So
knowing how much he's going to demand, I don't think it's worth it either. As much as I'd like to see him come back.
I'd absolutely love to see him as a Blue Jay, but he's probably going to want $20 million, and I don't see that fit. As much as I love Kiermaier as well, he's also on a one-year deal.
I think it goes even worse than that. It's the Donaldson. It's, you know, like, that's what this reminds me of. Like, would have been great to keep Josh Donaldson. Yeah, it would have. I mean, I really like Josh Donaldson, and I thought he was an excellent third baseman, but he's going to demand so much money. And then, you know, we saw a big drop off from Donaldson. And I mean, he's had flashes, but it's never come back to where it was even close. And now it's way off. They're still paying him a king's ransom. And I mean, good on New York.
That's the Yankees' problem.
Nothing like watching them take another one in the chin. But I mean, it's, you know, I like the sort of two the two sort of areas that they can improve on just by, you know, letting Chapman probably go. And then maybe in the offseason, they can look at moving Biggio or Espinal. And then, you know, maybe you can get yourself a couple of middle arms that, that they so badly need. But again, you know, to that point, I mean, Cabrera, Hicks, like these guys are, if we can keep them around and we can let them get a little more, you know, a little more stability under their feet, I feel like both are pitchers that came out of situations that they didn't love. And they've sort of found their legs in Toronto a little bit, and they're only getting better. Like, I feel like Hicks is giving up too many hits for a guy who throws as hard as he does. But, you know,
he's not missing the bats.
No, I mean, it's, you know, but you've got to start to say, okay, well, if they're catching up to me at 101, I've got to get creative. Right. So, but yeah, it'll come. I mean, again, I really feel like there's a storm coming from the Jays. And I feel like they're going to really start to drag some teams out into center field and beat them old Yeller style, you know, and really
start that tonight to, turns into one of those nights because yeah, we're all right down 1-0.
Well, that's, you know, there you go. It's on.
Yeah, it's weird. It's almost like
we got beat by the one guy so far that actually can hit so far outside of Lane Thomas, and that's Joey Meneses. Guy's a freaking stud. I got to see him last year here playing for the Rochester Red Wings. And holy shnikes, that kid's going to be something special playing for the Nationals. But he's the only one that can hit right now. He's got an RBI already tonight.
He's not even really a kid. He's
No, he's
almost
not.
30, I think. He just had a long...
Finally put it together.
He's destroyed. He was incredible for them down the stretch last year. And, I mean, Washington as a team is playing pretty well lately. I mean, the Jays picked the absolute worst time to play them. Like, Washington's
sounds
been
like our luck.
Yeah, I mean, Washington's been snoozing all season. And, like, ever since the deadline, I mean, they've completely done a 180. Like, they're fighting to pass a couple of these teams in the NL that have already given up on their year. And, I mean...
Yeah, like, haven't they won six of their last eight or something?
Yeah. No, it's wild. And, I mean, they're doing it with... Like you said, you mentioned one household name in Lane Thomas. Like, they're doing it with guys that you don't really think of as...
And that's only a household name in his house.
Or Blue Jays fans traded to be... Or guys that got traded as Blue Jays a million years ago.
Yeah.
He used to play for us. I remember when I was starting my articles and writing with Jays Journal in 2014, 2015, he was one of the prospects that everybody was talking about. So... Got great bat.
That was one of the guys I wanted the Jays to look after at the deadline, because you look at Lane Thomas's splits and his average against lefties is absurd. Like, it's ridiculous just how much better he hits lefties than righties. And that's the one thing I wanted the Jays to address at the deadline, and they didn't. But that's
that is different.
And I feel like that rant has already happened far too many times.
346 against lefties, 256 against righties.
Yeah.
Hey, I knew it was off, but I didn't think it was 100 points.
Yeah. You know who's also up there against lefties is Gabriel Moreno. There's another guy. He's also hitting absurdly against lefties.
Yeah. And like, I'm like a major leaguer. So there's that whole thing too that makes it burn just a little bit more.
Well, I was in Arizona for spring training this year, so I got to watch him really closely. We went and watched two games, and that guy's a baseball player. that guy oozes baseball as he's walking around. He caught a game, threw two guys out and hit two home runs in the game we watched, and the one was a moonshot. And everyone I was with was like, this is the guy that the Jays gave up for Varsho. I was like,
Well, just to be this person, they were all butthurt in Arizona about losing Varsho.
Yeah,
too.
I know.
So, so it was a very likely similar scenario. But so anyways, I want to just talk that we obviously over the last week, we played the Baltimore Orioles as well. Guys, that really hurt. It really did. I was hoping that they were going to be able to pull out a few of those games, and they couldn't even keep their feet underneath them. They, you know, lost, won the first game, looking like we had everything under control. We're in business. Things are good, right? Then get completely blasted the next game with getting blanked and putting up a 7 spot for the Orioles, and then having a very odd 3-5 loss. So it looked like we're going to maybe make a comeback in that one, but it didn't quite get feet. So that's a team we're going to have to go through. I know that was the last series I think we played them for the rest of the season, but at the end of the day, that's a team, if we're going to be playoff contenders, we're going to probably more than likely with a wild card, you know, situation, have to go through the best team's record right now in the American League.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? Because that whole thing says rough to me.
Games like that against Baltimore are ones where if the Jays were to win, it would be a 2023 Blue Jays 3-1 win. And Baltimore is such a good hitting team that it kind of seemed unlikely. I mean, the 7-0 loss is really a microcosm of the season, if you look at it, right? I mean, the Jays, almost every game, are going to outpitch the opponents. I mean, their starting pitching is just that good. But it gets to a point where you have to score runs because you can't win a game 0-0.
No.
So the second Baltimore scored 4 runs in that game, I'm like, okay, now we got to move on to the next one. Because, again, this was before Bautista got hurt.
Boom!
This is before Bautista got hurt, and Baltimore's back end of the bullpen, Cano and Bautista, was absolutely absurd. Yeah. And even if one of them struggles, they'd bring in the other one.
Jason, why do I feel like you have breaking news because you're looking at the TV across the room?
Springer stole second.
Oh, okay. I not only have one monitor anymore. It's even though it's a 43-inch monitor,
I'm set up in a bad spot.
Feed the audio.
My big giant TV is right there, so I have to keep putting my head close. It looks like I'm trying to listen to the computer. I'm not, everyone. I'm just looking.
I got the MLB Game Day thing on. That's the only thing I got on right now.
I just turned it on.
So, yep. But as it is, I agree with you, Ethan, that the pitching right now has been on fire. And I wanted to see, I saw some crazy stat that since the All-Star game, the Blue Jays have the 3rd best pitching rotation in baseball.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise
me. It was something crazy like
either.
That.
Me either.
And it's mostly because Hyunjin Ryu has been Hyunjin Ryu. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This is the guy we paid for how many years ago that we all of a sudden seem to be getting in full force. It's very interesting.
Yeah, and talking about starting pitching and not scoring, I mean, Kevin Gausman's got the lowest run support in the entirety of MLB.
Yeah.
Worse than Oakland Athletic pitchers. I want to put that out there. Oakland Athletic pitchers are getting more run support than Kevin Gausman. I don't know what he did to piss off the hitters. It was clearly unintentional.
Or the baseball gods, for that matter.
Yeah, it's the same with Kikuchi. Kikuchi's had, maybe 3 or 4 really, really good starts. And it's either Schneider pulls them too early or the bullpen blows it or we don't score any runs. It's only Kikuchi starts.
Yeah, it's true. Well, you're dead on.
Yesterday.
Dead on.
Yeah.
Both Gausman and Kikuchi have deserved a lot better results a lot of times. And it's hard. It's, you know, I often look at this team and just wonder, like you said, why can't somebody hit a sac fly? Or why can't, you know, somebody choke up and smash one into the gap and score 2 runs, you know, when you've got nobody out and 2 guys on? It gets very frustrating. It gets very frustrating. But, you know, it's, I don't know. It's, I feel like some of the good parts are coming together right now and some of the other parts that were holding us together are not. And that's tough. And you almost need everybody firing on every cylinder. The Mariners have everyone firing on every cylinder right now, and you can clearly see it. And Baltimore never doesn't, apparently. They're just unreal. So, you know, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take the Jays, the best Jays, the best the 2023 Jays have to even get close.
And that's the worrying thing, is what if we've already seen it? Right? We've been saying all season, we need the best Blue Jays right now. If we want to make a big stretch, we need the best Blue Jays. What if we've already seen the best Blue Jays? What if the best Blue Jays was in April, right? So
might be not wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's a worrying thought. And I mean, like I said earlier, I don't want to be a doomer, but we have to think realistically. We have 4 months of season to look back on. And like, major changes like this don't happen overnight. I mean, we have games like we had that one game against the Cubs. We had that one game against the Red Sox where the offense just completely clicked. And everyone was thinking, okay, now the offense is going to start hitting. But then right after the Chicago Cubs game in particular, we played Cleveland. And we got destroyed by Noah Syndergaard.
Yes.
All people.
Got DFA'd, but that's it. Again, another story. Our hitters did that. But you have one good game, and this is going back to the consistency that we talked about earlier. You have one good game, and you want to follow it up with 2-3 in a row. You want to go 11-4 over your next 15 games because you're facing poor teams. You want to go at the worst 10-5 in your next 15 games if you want to make a real battle of this with Texas and Houston, because Seattle is so far and away, I think, that it's hard. It's going to be hard to catch up to them. And I think it's between Texas and Houston because they're both struggling right now.
Yeah. But the two of them, honestly, don't know what they know what to do with a baseball on either side lately. And
it's a Texas.
It's the Blue Jays' opportunity to be able to click and run away with something and take advantage of that over the next week or so here. And they really need to do that. And the sad thing is, right now, the only thing I can hope for is that the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox beat the living crap out of each other their next few days because they're playing each other. But the friggin' Rangers have a chance to get back on track playing the damn Mets.
It's true.
For our previous conversation. So it's going to be interesting down the stretch here, but they have to take advantage of this next 2 weeks in their schedule. If they don't come out with a 60% at a minimum, hopefully somewhere close 80% of those games being wins, they're going to have a really, really hard time running through the rest of September and being able to get to the playoffs. I don't know if you guys have seen what the odds are of late, but the Blue Jays are only given right now a 45.8% chance to make the playoffs and an even mediocre more 2.8% chance to win the World Series.
Bold.
Those are your odds.
Yeah, it's not a fun roller coaster ride. If you look at their playoff percentage chance throughout the season, I mean, it goes up and down a little bit. It kind of looks like we're getting off the ride at this point. Like, you're nearing the final turn.
Yeah.
You're hoping maybe the guy pushes the button and sends you on another lap, and maybe you end up going back up. But I mean, we're heading towards the end of the ride, unfortunately.
Yep. And like I said, there's a good chance here for them to be able to run with that. But the right things need to go right. And unfortunately, I don't know how much you guys are paying attention to the news right before the game today. We took two pretty good dings into those chances with some injuries that are official at this point. The one being Matt Chapman is on the injured list. So he's going to be gone for at least 10 to 15 days. And the Blue Jays called back up Ernie Clement, who has been on fire for the Buffalo Bisons. But is he going to dive right into this lineup and be Davis Schneider 2.0, who, funny enough, is batting cleanup tonight? Because that's how fun this lineup is going to be the next few weeks. But, guys, Matt Chapman hasn't been hitting like he was in April this whole year. But the guy has still been a force. He's been, honestly, on the upswing a little bit over the last couple of weeks, I feel like. How big of a ding is that going to be while we're playing these quote-unquote winnable games over the next couple of weeks?
I think both are tough losses, Bichette and Chapman. I feel like Schneider, I got no worries about him. He can, and Ernie Clement coming up, he's been crushing it down in Buffalo. And so, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much it impacts. I mean, obviously Chapman's a big one defensively, but if they can keep the defense that they need, then I think the other two guys might be better at the dish than him right now.
That's where I was going. Maybe it's worth sacrificing right now a little bit on the defense side if you were able to put the hot hand in that third base and still be able to leverage up Big catch of that whole thing is you're also losing Bo Bichette, who is still the team's best hitter.
Yes.
He doesn't have the best WAR on the team, I really oddly, because that's Matt Chapman, because of this crazy defense. But is what it is. What are you thinking, Ethan?
Yeah, it's one of those things where you sacrifice, like you said, the defense for the offense. But when you think of that as a whole of this, the way this Blue Jays team was structured this season, it's the complete opposite of how they structured the team. They structured the team to be sound defensively and maybe get rid of some of the power that was there last year. When you look at getting rid of Teoscar, you look at getting rid of Gurriel, Tapia, those are guys who are worse fielders. But
hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Maybe get on base a bit more, maybe hit a bit more home runs. So for as much as I would love for Ernie Clement to hit 270 and be our starting shortstop, and for Davis Schneider to play second or third base every single day, knowing the way this team is organized and the way John Schneider has set lineups this season, he's going to want to emphasize some defense over offense. Whether that means putting Santiago Espinal in the lineup, who quite frankly hasn't really shown offense or defense lately, or it means playing more Kevin Biggio, who has impressed, minus his bunting, has impressed hitting, and he's played some pretty good infield. The right field was an adventure, especially that Ellie De La Cruz triple and the home run. But, I mean, his second base defense is fine. Whit Merrifield defensively at second base is fine. Yep. So You can plug in those guys. I mean, maybe Aurelvis Martinez or Addison Barger earns a call-up if, say, Espinal and maybe Schneider cools down. Clement doesn't hit as well at the major league level. Maybe they decide to shake things up. But, like, if you're putting some of those guys in at the bottom of the lineup, it almost makes me think of what happened with Paul DeJong, where you bring him in as, okay, he's your replacement shortstop. He's going to be your starting shortstop until Bo Bichette comes back. And I mean, nothing against the guy, but he performed so poorly in that time that the Jays decided to DFA him when Bo came back. So,
well, that was probably because Schneider actually was playing as well as he was. You didn't want to send him down. You needed a spot, right?
Exactly. And then he didn't play for like 9 days, but
yeah, there was weird things. I didn't say they were perfect.
Yeah. But again, it's one of those things where as much as you want to replace defense with offense, and I think people have wanted that all season, I mean, that's why the rumors were about them trying to get Teoscar back at the deadline. I mean, there's a power that you've been missing all season. As much as you want to replace defense with offense, the way this team has been built this season, I don't know if they're going to do that.
Yeah, it's so tough. It's such a fine line. And you know, I think what we've seen in the past, like when the Rays were so dominant. I mean, they were just so athletic. And I feel like at the start of the year, I felt like this Jays team was a little more athletic than we were giving it credit for. And that athleticism now has just sort of petered off into, you know, sure, they're okay athletes now, but they're not doing the things that make you a baseball team. And, you know, I hearken back to at least Vladdy's hitting the ball now. But then, you know, just in the first inning here, the Jays get two runners on. They get a runner at second and third. And rather than Varsho trying to slash one where he, you know, like that's what you should be trying to do, he hits a can of corn to left. And it's like at some point, you have to realize that those two runs are scorable. And you need to choke up on the bat and smash it into play. Even if you get out, a ground ball out or just, you know, something that a guy has to dive at is better than hitting a can of corn that the guy could sit under, make a sandwich, catch, and then move on. So
I will take this. At least he actually put the ball in play and didn't strike out. So,
yeah,
true. He doesn't strike out as much, I don't think, in those high leverage situations.
I'm talking in general.
Yeah. I think in those situations,
that's been the thing that's been the most heartbreaking, I think.
Yeah, I think the weak flyout is his forte in those situations.
That sucks so bad to say out loud.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Not a very nice thing to say, but it's... Like, at least with a weak flyout, with a runner on third, maybe, there's a chance the outfielder makes a bad throw, right? There's a chance he throws it over the catcher's head. Maybe it bounces off the catcher and rolls away and you can score a run, right? When you strike out or hit...
Jason and I talk on this show very much about the fact that you're missing the days where he had guys like Tony Gwynn that just put the damn ball in play. There was a season that Tony Gwynn only struck out barely double digits.
Yeah.
It's insane. Nobody will do that ever again in the way we play baseball these days. You don't put the ball in play, nothing happens, to your point.
Yeah, the closest thing to him is Luis Arraez.
Correct.
And no one else is even close. Like, it's ridiculous how so many guys don't care about hitting 320. They care about hitting 30 home runs, right? And it's a different approach at the plate. I mean, the one guy who you think of is what Merrifield on the Jays, where
he chokes up on that thing pretty good when he wants to get a play.
While he does have 11 home runs, I mean, they call him two hit wit for a reason. I mean, he gets on base at a very high level, albeit not walking very often, but he's so good at putting the ball in play and generating contact that, you know,
yes,
like 4 times out of 10, he's going to be on base when
he isn't. I mean, and this is a big thing for Merrifield. When he's not, he's challenging the... Very rarely does that guy go down on less than 5 pitches. Like, I mean, it's pretty rare that you watch him either strike out on 3 straight or even 4. Like, he fouls balls off. He makes you find spots that he can't hit. And then, you know, he seems to be just sort of your all around Swiss Army knife. I can't say enough good things about him. You know, like, it's when he's not hitting those extra base, not getting those extra bases, if he's just hitting singles, you can see that the guys behind him aren't picking him up, whereas he was picking everybody up for a while there. And I mean, you got to hope that, you know, Springer's hot right now and Vladdy's hot right now and Belt's hot right now. You got to hope that some of this stuff sticks for 5-6 games and they really start smashing around the yard.
So I have to put this out there, as we do have a few comments that have been flying through into the chat thing, other than our other host is clearly trolling us from Canada's Wonderland. So in the fun that we've been talking about tonight with what's going on tonight, Jeff Fisher is completely all over the idea that we need to get the bats going a little bit to do some things right now. And Kevin Gausman needs some freaking run support. So we're hoping that we get all these kind of things going, Jeff, and we're going to make things a little bit better. Hopefully, if it's Blue Jays fans, or if they can get some runs for, you know, KG on the mound tonight.
Is Jeff Fisher still coaching in the NFL? Congratulations on all your success in the NFL there, Jeff. Way to go, buddy.
Awesome. So, and then, like I said, I think our host is, trolling us from afar, and just to say Kelly Gruber.
Yes. Anytime you can make us say Kelly Gruber.
So
go on the Dragon Flayer again, Kenny.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good spot. But anyways, I want to mention something because I was just happening to be, because we did get Ernie Clement coming back up. And I just think it's funny that in the midst we did get Ernie Clement for the clear fact that he can play a bunch of positions. And I honestly wonder how much that speaks to the confidence in the Blue Jays of putting Santiago Espinal and Kevin Biggio out on the field when you bring somebody like Ernie Clement and then just throw him right in the lineup like they did tonight. And then it makes me wonder, do you stop there? And why wouldn't you stop there when I show you, or why would you only stop there when I share this screen with you once I finally click the right damn buttons?
He's trying. This is when we tap dance, Ethan. You do a soft shoe or you get something, going so no one's looking. Oh, there we go.
There we go. So this is the Buffalo Bisons stat sheet for the last 30 days. Does anybody know a big name that's hitting a lot of home runs and RBIs right at the top of this list? This guy right here. Spencer Horowitz.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
That is slightly insane. And to that point, I'm perfectly happy with the fact that if you put Davis Schneider in the lineup at third or second, keep using Ernie Clement. And I'm honestly wondering, I know Kevin doesn't have any options left, but I'm pretty sure Santiago Espinal does. Maybe it's time just to grab the hot hand for the next 2 days or a few weeks. Seeing they're going to be playing more or less minor league level teams between the Oakland A's and some of these guys over the next few weeks. What would be so problematic about having somebody like Spencer Horowitz and get hot over the next few weeks? He hit another home run last night. So, and he destroyed the home run that he hit too. So
I feel like there's some good names. Yeah. And I feel like, this is the recipe that Baltimore used. This is what Baltimore did. They saw guys getting hot. They brought them up and they let them continue to try and be hot. And, back when Mullins a couple of years ago was red hot and then went right into the turlet, they kept getting him at bats and at bats and at bats and at bats and playing. And he got himself turned around. And I mean, I venture to say, is he the best center fielder in the majors right now? I mean, he's unbelievable. And all it takes with these guys sometimes, it doesn't matter if it's, 2 years, 5 years, 7 years, they just got drafted last year. They just need some confidence. They need reps. And I was just talking about this with a buddy of mine, Chapman. His son is accelerating right now at a very high level for baseball, and it's reps. He's out there pushing it. He's working hard. He's hitting when he can hit. He's fielding when he can hit. And I mean, you definitely see a difference between a guy doing that, or you bring a guy up and you let him sit on your bench for 3 weeks and then he goes back down and you're like, oh, that was an interesting exercise in nothing. What did you do? Pinch run twice?
The biggest thing is an advantage is Horowitz is already on the 40 man. I believe Barger and Aurelvis Martinez are also already on the 40 man. So basically you're the only guy out of these hot hands is Rafael Lotigua, who has been on fire the whole damn season, too. The thing I love about him is that he walks. He does strike out, but he does walk.
That's a name right there.
Super utility guy, too. You can play him all over the infield and the outfield, yeah.
You have all these guys that spell the same thing as Santiago Espinal or Kevin Biggio or whatnot at this point. I can't say the two of them have been helping any in even watching Espinal the other day play shortstop scared me a little bit because he made some plays that you shouldn't make, but then the ones that were the easy ones he couldn't handle, it seemed like. He had that one that was hit right to him in his hip pocket the other day, and I'm sitting there wondering as a baseball coach why you tried to backhand it. You should have just gotten in front of that thing and made it a nice and put it in your breadbasket kind of situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if there was one J that they were to send down and maybe give someone else in the minors some more playing time, I think it would be Santiago Espinal. The one issue, you mentioned how great Spencer Horowitz has been hitting lately, and he's finally generating a little bit of power because the power has been the one thing in his game all season that hasn't really been there despite how incredible he's been hitting at the plate. I mean, he walks way more than he strikes out, which is unheard of for me. But he's a great hitter. He's a lefty hitter as well, which is what they needed coming into the season. I don't know if you can trust him in the field.
Depends on that play. I don't know if I have to.
But the issue is he's a first baseman, and you can maybe stick him in left field. You have three first basemen there. Then you have Vladdy, and I, as much as the team is giving Vladdy reps at third base right now, before the game he was giving ground balls there. I don't feel comfortable sticking Vladdy at third base.
Yeah.
You have Belt, who's only going to play first or DH, and then you have Horwitz.
Yeah,
and I would absolutely love Horwitz bat in the lineup. I think he's a better hitter than quite a few guys on the team right now. I just don't know if you can give him consistent at-bats, like you were saying earlier.
So this is where I want to go, and this is my thought. We keep getting behind in games, right? If you have somebody like Horowitz that can come in for a pinch hit late in a game that might run into one, it's better than having to plug Santiago Espinal in.
The thing is, though, if you're playing Ernie Clement and then you pinch hit Horowitz for Clement and Bo's hurt, who's coming in at shortstop? Then you got to stick Kevin Biggio at shortstop.
Yeah. Yes.
So
that would be your one catch.
It's a catch 22 in that I. Yeah.
Well, could you not then potentially bring up Barger to play short?
That's the thing.
And that's where I think is the other move you have to make at the same time.
And then we're the Buffalo Blue Jays.
Don't worry about it. That's the whole point anyway. Well, they did play how many games there? How many years ago?
Yeah.
And look, I mean, September is almost here. They'll get two more roster spots when September comes. Likely, I would say one of Horwitz, Barger, and Martinez will be called up. If not, it'll probably be Nathan Lucas again. I think that depends on
catch to that whole situation too. Because I think if they want them to be eligible to be on the playoff roster, they have to be on the team before next week.
Right. So hypothetically, I mean, you can send down Biggio and Espinal August 31st. I think they just have to be on the roster by September 1st. So I think if you call them up September 1st, it's fine when the rosters expand.
Yeah.
Yep. So
I'll have to look into that. I thought it was the day before. I thought if you were on the call-up list, as those two extra spots or whatever it was, those weren't eligible spots.
I think it's if you get called up after that day, you can't make the playoffs. Yeah. I think that was the issue when they acquired, I don't even know if you guys remember, a couple years ago, they traded for Darwin Barney, and he couldn't make the playoffs for the team that year because they acquired
I really him. Liked him, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was fun. there is a catch there, too, with service time during the year. So if you brought up somebody like Barger, I don't think you can. If you pull up a day later than that, that might be where your loophole is. Where Horowitz has played a few games. Obviously, we've seen Nathan Lucas and a few, so on and so forth. You know, obviously, Davis Schneider is available because, if he's on this team and he stays on the team, he's played enough to. So it's that kind of thing. Same thing with Ernie Clement's gotten in a handful of games. So something in the midst of that, too. I can't remember the concoction that it is. But it'll be interesting to see. I think they do need that catalyst offensively one way or the other.
It's also a lot of pressure, right? I mean, if you're Madison Barger or Elvis Martinez, for example, and you get called up September 1st on a team that's fighting for a playoff spot and they're expecting offense out of this team, I mean, that's a heck of a lot of pressure for a rookie.
I mean, not Steyer's handling all that pressure. Don't worry about them.
Yeah. Ellie De La Cruz has had no problem, or Encarnacion. Those guys have had no problem. Just, on a side note, my parents were just in Ontario and flew down and watched the Jays play in Cincy in that game where they absolutely dismantled the Reds.
Nice.
And both of my parents were saying that Ellie De La Cruz is just, even warming up, he's just like a different specimen. He's like a Martian out there. He's so big and he's so fast. He warms up at short and third. And like, he throws the ball so effortlessly across the diamond. It's a joke. And I got a City Connect hat.
Those are really nice jerseys. Those jerseys and hats are really nice.
Yeah, I got one of the low pro ones. Yeah. I was going to wear it, but I thought it was, I'll wear it for one.
I'll tell you what, I would not like to play in the sun in a full black uniform. I can tell you that. That seems like a recipe disaster, but I am all for these like 6'5 shortstops.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all for it. Like, you look at him and O'Neill Cruz.
And who's the guy? Who's the guy that was with the Seager?
Yeah.
He's a stud. He's 6'6".
Yeah, I'm all for these, like, huge shortstops. I mean, back in the day, it was like, if you're a if you're 6'5 and up, you're a first baseman or you're a corner outfielder.
Yeah. Or pitcher. Or
unless you were Cal Ripken, was like the only exception my whole childhood growing up that was that tall of a second or a shortstop.
Oh, tie game.
Oh. Yep. Oh, something good happened. Come on.
Yeah, tie game. George Springer singles to drive in Jansen.
All right.
There you go. Put it on the board.
They got two on, one out. There we go. Let's get a few.
He's a hit with the runner in scoring position.
It was. Did a good old Georgie boy.
There you go.
I think that's.
So speaking of, he's heating up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big part of his game. I think that's the big part of his game that's been heating up is his approach with runners in scoring position, because there was a point maybe a month and a half ago where he was hitting below 200 with runners in scoring position. And I mean, he was hitting leadoff at the time. So maybe you're not going to get as many opportunities as, say, if you're hitting fourth or fifth.
Yes.
But lately he's completely relished wherever in the lineup he's hitting. And since that over 35 stretch, I mean, he's looked like a completely different hitter. And what, like the George Springer the Jays wanted when they signed him to that big deal.
Yes, for sure. I mean, it's, I think that, and I have the other thing too, is I feel like Springer's always been big game George, right? Like when the dog days of summer are on, sometimes I don't think that he turns the heat up as much as he does when it starts to get, you know, closer to the end. And I mean, I feel like Vladdy's doing a little bit of that right now. Like Vladdy's certainly playing a little bit better. He's a little bit better at one. He's certainly hitting the ball harder. Springer tends to do that. And my hope is that, you know, that some of these other guys will start to see that and they'll be like, oh, I get it now. We kind of, you know, you hover around a certain point and then you really got to put the pedal down and you've got to go for a month and a half and just burn through everybody. You can lose one or two games, but that's about it for the next, you know, 30 days. And I mean, all the best baseball players have been able to do it, whether they could take their team with them, you know, the really great ones could. And so my hope is that this sort of mix of young young and vet we've got going on right now, it will do, you know, will do those things they need to do. They're blowing it open. 3-1. Vladdy doubles. Here we go.
Here's them all. The bats. See, there you go. That's encouraging. If you get MVP Vladdy back, this is going to be crazy over the next few weeks.
Yeah. That's more runs of support than Kevin Gausman has had in maybe 2 weeks in the first couple of innings.
2 months.
You've given him three runs of support already.
That's not over.
That's unheard of.
Two out, two out, one on still. Why is it two?
There you go.
There we go. All right.
So cool. Did you guys read some of the fun that came out this week on what Buck Martinez was mentioning with Vladdy and why he might be struggling a little bit more recently than late?
No.
Anybody? Too many coaches, too many voices.
Maybe. Yeah, it is something that's super hard.
We're in the information age, right? You know, how much shit's he being bombarded with? Maybe he's better off only talking to Don Mattingly for a week or only talking to whoever. I don't give a crap. What I mean? They just added Edwin
to the dugout too. I mean, that's another guy who surely is gonna talk to him about hitting. Like,
maybe he should only talk to Edwin. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, did you the parrot walk a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be fun. He's already got the like jump step he does at third base when he hits homers.
Yep.
But the Jays are notorious for having like a million coaches in the dugout. I don't know if you noticed that. A couple years ago, it was Dante Bichette. Like these guys whose official title is like special advisor,
assistant secretary to the traveling secretary.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, it's like how John Schneider had the best job title in baseball before he got the coach. Major league manager or major league coach was what it was, major right? Coach. Like,
you don't know what these, you don't have specifics of what each guy is doing. And you mentioned too many voices. Like when you have a million guys in there, like it's inevitable that your hitting coach and your assistant hitting coach might have differing opinions on something. Mm-hmm. And then you bring in another guy and then you bring in another guy and then maybe your teammates thought, an idea, and then you're looking at the iPad and you're thinking, okay, maybe I need to do this, and you're consulting with the consultant and the consultant's consultant. And it's, yeah. I can understand where he's coming from.
Yeah.
And it's, for sure. It's one of those things where you have that many resources.
Yeah.
When you're not performing to the ability that you can and you should be, you're going to look to one of them. And you don't see results, you're going to go to the other one. You don't see results, you're going to go to the other one. And then those three
people eventually get in here, to your point, Ethan. If you got, it's like, whose voice is he hearing here? I have a strange feeling it's not his.
No.
You know what I mean? So that's where the fun comes in. And to that point, I can't say that there's not smoke to that fire. I do think that sometimes, as an engineer by day, sometimes you just got to follow the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid, right? you can't follow anything else, but... But on that note, you got the flip side. That's a guy that had probably none of these coaches talking to him, who is off to a major, or at least a Blue Jays record at this point. And David Schneider is batting cleanup tonight.
He just hit a home run, but foul.
Nah,
crushed it.
Say it. He's in his second bat, but he walked his first at bat. I had it in front of me. First of major league games. He's in 11 games so far, batting .432, 5 home runs, 8 extra base hits total. 11 RBIs, 9 runs, and 8 freaking walks, or 6 walks.
Isn't it exactly the same as, his name just escaped me. He was a Jays
draft. That was Carlos Delgado.
Delgado, thank you.
The most racist person. Yeah. He's now eclipsed Delgado in as many games. Delgado had 4 home runs.
He got it on the ground, scored Vladdy.
All right.
There you go. So we got another RBI. 4-1. Keep him in that cleanup spot.
On behalf of all guys with glasses, it really, really does me proud to see him and Danny Jansen out there every day. And I mean, I'm a little taller than David Schneider, but Movember, when that comes around and the beard is gone and it's just the mustache, like I think I might just shave it October 31st, David Schneider Halloween costume.
Yep.
Just into Movember.
There you go.
There it is. Back to the Cincinnati story. My parents were on the flight from Toronto down to Cincy, and Danny Jansen was sitting in front of them on the plane with his wife and daughter. Oh. And she's like, "Where do I recognize that guy with his weird glasses?" You know, like, and it finally dawned on her, you know, that it was him. So I guess they fly commercially with their families if they're on the IL if they want to.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, makes sense.
Brings me back to Brett Cecil. I mean, that was the first one I saw where he had glasses on, and I'm like,
"Didn't Tom Hankey wear glasses?
If he can make major glasses,
yeah, we might be going past your age group there."
The first I can remember.
Yeah,
if he can make the majors of glasses, I can.
Yeah, Grant didn't Garth Orge wear some really weird like racquetball glasses?
They were like the ones that wrapped around with a strap back here that Rand Smolenik's.
Yeah, Sogard.
Sogard
just wore regular glasses, like not even goggles or anything.
He wore like Ray-Ban with clear lenses.
He said the goggle things messed him up. He didn't have the same lenses in them. They were like safety glasses, so they had no anti-glare or anything. And he said he couldn't see the baseball with them. That's why he was wearing the regular ones.
I was wearing regular glasses. If I had those goggles, who knows?
Yeah. So the Blue Jays put up a crooked number in the second, 4 runs before the inning breaks out. So that's fun. It's intriguing. That's a fun way to end the show because I wanted a last minute talk the lineup tonight because this might be the lineup, guys, we see for the foreseeable future here before we end with our picks to click here for the next week in Blue Jays baseball. This lineup tonight is Springer, Belt, Vladdy, Schneider, Merrifield, Varsho, Jansen, Clement, and Kiermaier. So, and that's with Clement playing short.
Yeah.
I honestly don't have a problem with this.
I like the way it looks.
I have to be cornered into it.
Yeah.
One of the lineups of all time, I can tell you that.
It'll definitely evolve over the next 2 days, too, because Varsho has been hot, but I still don't think he's been as clutch as some of these other guys. But I guess that when you look at who's behind him now and Jansen, Clement, and Kiermaier, I guess the 6th spot works. At least it's breaking up the lineup.
The flip side is maybe you move Merrifield into the 2 and then Belt down to 5, and then you maybe swap Varsho and Jansen so you don't have 2 lefties in a row.
Clement's a righty too, so that's not helping him.
Yeah, I mean, you maybe put Merrifield 2, Belt 5, Jansen 6, Varsho 7. Like, that's the only other change you can make, really, because Kiermaier's played so well hitting 9th.
Don't say that to Craig.
Not a big fan of Kiermaier hitting 9th?
No, he's not a big fan of Craig Kiermaier.
I never thought a million years he'd last. That was the only problem, and these guys didn't give me shit all year about it.
I will admit, coming into the season, I was skeptical, but that man has won me over.
Yep,
he won me over so quickly. It was crazy how quickly he won.
We're gonna make Craig wear a Kiermaier jersey before this year is over.
Please,
it ain't happening. I'm gonna go to my mailbox one day, aren't I? Mm-hmm. It's gonna just be there, right? A jersey. Good stuff. So, anyways, it's that time, guys. Let's talk picks to click. This is for your benefit, Ethan. We do the who we guess on the show is gonna perform the best in Blue Jays baseball over the next week. And right now, we're going to let you pick the winner for last week, which includes a guest spot. So this is another fun thing that you get to partake in on and see if we can get your guys' win column up. Unfortunately, Ken is the one running away with this at this point. I don't know if he's going to make it this week, but I think he might. But anyways, the picks were Danny Jansen, George Springer, Davis Schneider, and Bo Bichette. And I'll let you pick those four guys who you think had the best week in Blue Jays baseball since last Monday.
See, that's interesting because I want to say Davis Schneider, but he's played in so few games that I don't know if it's enough.
I can't even remember who I picked.
I think I'm going to go Dalton Varsho.
I'll tell you who wins. Well, I'm just saying it has to be one of those three or four guys. So it's Danny Jansen, George Springer, Varsho, Schneider, or Bo Bichette.
Oh, I thought you said... Okay, then I will go with Danny Jansen.
Really? You're going to give me a win with Danny Jansen?
We're all okay with it, Craig. As long as it's not Ken.
As it wasn't Ken with David Schneider. So the unfortunate fun of this whole thing is Ken's not here. His pick of David Schneider, because he didn't win, does carry over. So that's the one that's off board. But Ethan, pick for the guest spot this week. Who do you think will be the best Blue Jay over the next 7 days?
I got free range.
Yep.
Free range of anybody but Davis Schneider.
You can even pick guys that don't play for the team anymore.
That doesn't work. Want to lose.
Yeah. I was thinking Jesse Chalmers.
Oh, man. There's one for you. I thought he was going to be Gustavo Justine from our other one earlier.
He's been heating up lately. I'll go with sort of a basic answer. I'll go with Vladdy.
There it is.
Okay, Jason, RBI double today already.
Who did I have last week?
You were the one that had Springer last week.
Damn it. You know what? I'm gonna go back because I want him to. I need him to. We need a little recharge. I'm going Witt.
Going Witt.
Yeah.
Two hit Witt. Sorry, got a hit tonight. Sorry, I was way to two already.
You got it.
You know what? I think I'm going to go ballsy. I'm going to say that Ernie Clement's going to freaking show what he can actually do this week.
That was my other one.
Play some good shorts.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. We went 3 for 3 because I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah. I just had the benefit of watching Ernie Clement too much here in Buffalo for him not to have some kind of a contribution this week. I'm putting my money where my mouth is and going with my Rochester native here in Ernie Clement.
There you go.
So anyways, now we're to this point of the show, Ethan, as we wrap up. This is your shameless self-promoting bit. You can talk about anything you would like. This is all about you and where the Blue Jays fans can find your work.
All right. You can find me on Twitter, or I guess X, at Ethan_Miller27. You can find my articles on Jays Journal. My name's Ethan Miller, so you can find there. If you like the sound of my voice, I am the public address announcer for York University's hockey teams. You can find those on OUA.tv. You can listen to those games. Along with that, I am also the public address announcer for Toronto FC2. So the minor league equivalent of MLS. You can find those games. They are streaming on MLS Next Pro on Apple TV. You might not be able to hear my voice that much because I'm the PA announcer, but one can only hope for eight yellow cards. Yeah. One can only hope for eight yellow cards, 10 goals, and a whole bunch of substitutions.
Yeah,
and
there you go.
Maybe
there
you can hear my voice. You can also come to the games at York Lions Stadium if you're located in the greater Toronto area.
Perfect. Anything else topic-wise you'd like to talk out, fellas, before we do our normal sign-off of two claps and a Ric Flair? No? Good to go?
Nothing really, I don't
think. All right, Blue Jays. All right, Blue Jays fans. Well, make sure you put your rally caps on or whatever you need to do to help us get to the voodoo right for the rest of the season here, especially against the teams we're playing over the next few weeks. And make sure you join us here every Monday evening and chime in. We had plenty of you chatting with us this evening. We're very happy to see it. Got a few good comments that we could put up on the board this evening. Make sure you join us so we can include that during our live recording every Monday night at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And if you missed us during those live shows, make sure you listen in on jaysjournal.com. You can literally hit the podcast button at the top of the website. Brings you to our stuff. And along with the addition of the fact that we're pretty much anywhere you can get your podcasting pleasures from, whether it's, you know, Apple, Spotify, any of those good places, we are there, including YouTube, too. So that's the end of the show, boys. So count of three, two claps and a Ric Flair. One, two, three.
Woo-hoo!
Let's go, Blue Jays. And I lost the button.
Thank you for listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at Birdwatching GC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/birdwatchinggc. Go, Jays, go.
Woo!
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.